All right. You ready?
No, but yeah.
We'll just edit it so that you sound super ready.
Okay.
You ready for this?
Yeah.
I feel like I'm like pushing you guys out of an airplane and just hoping that you'll find a parachute on the way down.
Basically.
Let's start like it. And see what happens. This is the official podcast of UKIRK WCU, bringing you all the good news you can possibly handle. I'm Noah McEntee, campus pastor and director of UKIRK WCU and Hillside Grind Coffee House Ministry. Co-hosting with me today is Chandler Keller, a senior at Western Carolina University with a concentration in journalism and public relations, and also our one and only intern. Chandler, welcome. Is there anything you want to say to start us out?
I'd just like to say thank you for having me. Super excited to be here. I was just wondering, how's your quarantine going?
Yeah, my quarantine is going okay. You know our family, you know us. We're pretty self-sufficient. We have our stuff going here. We did stock up on a few things like the chicken feed and the rabbit feed and stuff like that, because everybody all of a sudden got the idea they're going to start raising animals at home and they're going to start doing all their gardening and things. So if you've already been doing those things, then suddenly like the stores are out of all the regular stuff that you need. So when the chicken feed came back and we had to get that, other things, but no major inconveniences for us, I suppose. We're very fortunate to live in rural Southern Appalachia. and not have to experience the pandemics that are happening on a scale like in New York City or LA or Seattle or wherever else they're really suffering.
Definitely.
What about you? How are things going for you pandemic wise?
They're going all right. Feeling a little shut in, but gonna try and get outside, maybe see a waterfall later today or this week. Let's see.
Yeah. Have you been able to get out at all? Or are you doing some recreating? I mean, I'm not encouraging you to go shopping at Walmart or anything, but are you able to get out and do something, catch some sunlight?
We've gotten out one time, I think, and took Charlie, our dog, to the Greenway.
Yeah.
It's the Greenway by the Red Bridge over by Old Cullowhee.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, I've gone to Ingles a couple times for groceries and stuff. And some of the, they've stocked up recently, but before it was definitely like there was no chicken. The ground meat was definitely scarce, but
yeah.
It's gotten better.
It was surprising what they ran out of right away. Everyone knew toilet paper was in short supply, but then meat was in short supply. Definitely. Everybody eats a lot of meat, I suppose, more than they need to. We don't eat a ton of meat in our house, but we eat whole chickens, and there are always tons of whole chickens. Except suddenly there were no whole chickens. People were so desperate they were going to even try and cook a chicken. So that was surprising. When you go out to the stores, are you wearing a mask, or is that weird for you?
I'm not wearing a mask just because I didn't buy one.
Yeah. Not having one's a good reason to not wear one.
Yeah. And then I haven't really been wearing gloves either. I've been trying not to touch my face, and I've been trying to wash my hands a lot.
Yeah, we have three kids, and I think having children also makes you a little bit more aware of your own patterns, because knowing that my kids are going to probably touch everything and put things in their mouths. I mean, I've literally, not during the pandemic, but I have caught them licking things in public just because they're curious. They just want to know what it tastes like or what it feels like or something. So knowing that about kids, we're pretty conscious of, like, now when we come home, like the first thing we do is go to the bathroom and wash your hands. If we've been out in public, the first thing we do is come home, wash your hands. And we have the little sanitizer and stuff too, but yeah, we're taking extra precautions, and it reminds me to do that. We also have these little homemade masks that my aunt has made for us. She was a nurse for many years, and so she retired, and she just stays home sewing now, and she sewed a bunch of masks for all of us in the family. And so we wear those. It's a little extra precaution, but, just something.
Yeah, that's good.
Do you know anyone that's got coronavirus? Has it come close to you? Have you had any encounters with it?
I've not. I knew of someone that had someone in their life pass away from it, but other than that, I haven't heard of anyone testing positive. I saw that they're doing testing in Silva.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, lots more popping up. I mentioned on last week's pod that one of the people that had got me thinking about it was a famous person, a celebrity, John Prine. We recorded the podcast last week on Tuesday, and I got the news like right afterwards that he
died
of coronavirus. It's tough, but you know, you see a lot of the tributes come in, you read a lot of the stories, and I can still sit here and put on John Prine Spotify playlist if I want to and remember him in that way. I think of all the folks that have lost someone that is very personal to them, more personal than John Prine and I. The closest I ever got to him was a concert stage. But, you know, people that have lost someone in their lives and they don't have a Spotify playlist to listen to. They have photographs or, you know, they have dressers to clean out in their rooms and things. I think of how terrible this is for many people out there. It's a very hard time.
Definitely.
Not to be down the entire time, you have a way of coping with the pandemic that I have noticed that you've developed, and I see it behind you right now. You're painting during the pandemic. What got you into the painting? What's your story there?
So my friend Desiree has always painted, and she's an amazing painter, like super good.
All right, shout out to Desiree.
So I just saw a video of her painting, and I was like, I didn't have anything to do, and I was really looking for something. Mm-hmm. And I just felt like that would calm me down. And it has. It's helped a lot. So
that's great. That's great. I think that's a great practice. And you're right on the money to like find something good and helpful for yourself to keep you sane.
Definitely. The painting and crocheting have been really good. Mm. The painting, it can get a little expensive. So the crocheting is a little easier on the budget, but
yeah, I get
both
that.
Of them are really helpful.
A little less overhead in the crocheting.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. In these tough times, they call for faith, and let's talk about faith for a minute. UKIRK WCU is a campus ministry of the Presbyterian Church USA. We're a faith-based business that normally serves up ministry with a cup of coffee. We can't do that right now, so we've been trying other things, like this podcast, like moving our Monday Bible study to a Zoom meeting. What do you think about things like that? Those kind of practices. You participated in some of them that we're doing. Do you find those things helpful? Do you think it's a good fit?
I mean, I'm really enjoying the Bible study for sure. I think having that like Monday morning regularity is helping a lot, mm-hmm. especially since I still have to do like school assignments and stuff. I still have to wake up and be productive, and having something that is just scheduled out like that just helps with my productivity for sure.
Yeah, good. What else are you seeing out there? I mean, I know some of the other churches we're not a church per se, we're a campus ministry, but some of the other churches, they're all streaming stuff and doing services online and things like that. What do you think about those things? Is it helpful?
I think it's helpful. I haven't watched any. I've seen some of the churches doing the like drive-in
mm-hmm.
kind of churches. So you drive in your car and they have like a speaker system set up.
Yeah.
I think that's helpful. I've also seen a lot of churches doing food ministry
mm-hmm.
and still incorporating that. And I'm glad to see that.
Yeah, those are important things. And how churches do ministry is really changing. Even just stuff like collecting food. We do that. I pastor a church in just south of Franklin. We have baskets in the back and people bring their food and then we take it to the local food bank. If we're not meeting in person, then we can't do all those same things. And so we're having to come up with new ways to do everything.
Definitely. But I do love seeing the innovation. You know, people are still doing it and still getting the message out there. So
yeah,
it's nice to see for sure.
Yeah. In this time of social distancing, where people are innovating and doing new and different things, I have been reminded a few times now of a certain passage in Scripture. Usually if your Bible has those little headings on top of it, it's called The Faith of a Centurion or something like that, about the centurion that has the servant in his household who's lying ill and Jesus heals him from afar. Are you familiar with this passage?
I am not.
Oh, I'm going to catch you up real fast then. Okay, so I think it's in Matthew and Luke. In Matthew 8, that's the one I looked at most recently. There's a guy, a centurion, right? So a soldier type guy. And the centurion meets Jesus outside or like away from his home. And he says something like, "Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly." And Jesus responds to him with something like, "I got you." Or what, you know, Jesus' version of that. And the centurion, I'm sure he's happy to hear this, but he also pushes back a little bit. And this is where it gets interesting. He pushes back and he says to Jesus, "I'm not worthy to have you come to my house. Just say the word and I know it will be done." And he goes on and he says things like explaining who he is. We already know he's a centurion. And he says, "I too am a man under authority and I have people under me. If I say go, they go. If I say come, they come." So he just wants Jesus to say the word right here. "Don't come to my house. Don't dwell under my roof. Just say it and I know it'll be done." Because that's how it works. And Jesus says, "I haven't seen such faith among anyone in all of Israel. Go, let it be done for you as you have believed." So this passage in particular right now strikes me because, and I know there lots of folks have preached lots of sermons on this about various different things, but the part that gets me is the long distance miracle. The fact that Jesus is social distanced from the guy he's healing. I mean, I don't know how close he was to the centurion. I don't know what that looked like, but the centurion's the one asking for the healing. Jesus is the one going to give the healing. Far away in another house down the road is the guy who needs the healing. And he gets it. And so there's this mixture that's coming together of the centurion and the servant and Jesus, who are all being brought together in this story, even though they're separated from each other and distant from each other. And they're experiencing in that moment an encounter with God. The servant's getting it by virtue of the healing, the centurion by virtue of the command that he's coming and seeking. And they're all being kind of wrapped up together, even though they're stretched out far apart from each other. And that is what has got me thinking. The Coffee House Ministry is all spread out right now. All you college students, you're all gone to the wind. Everyone's at home or wherever you are, but you're not coming to the coffee house. We're not doing the regular stuff. And the same for my church, you know, that my parishioners there, they're all everywhere and we're not close. Nevertheless, we are still bound together and entwined together in each other's stories and lives by God and by our faith. And I hear that especially in this passage about the faith of the centurion. How does that passage strike you? Was it one that you'd heard once I explained it more?
No, I don't think it is actually one.
Yeah.
That I'd heard of. And it's very interesting. It definitely holds true during this time. We're definitely still coming together. Like, I mean, this past Bible study we had, like, it was a good group. And we were still coming together and talking about faith and how we're getting by through this time.
Any other final thoughts or anything that you want to say or discuss?
I'd just like to thank, I mean, obviously the healthcare workers, but also the essential workers.
Yeah.
The people that are out there every day, you know, groceries or delivery service, anything, just being out there and exposing yourself to this virus is definitely something. So I just like to shout them out.
Yeah, I agree with that. They, you know, these are groups of people that don't always get a lot of credit or recognition for what they do. And now they're not only getting that recognition, but I hope they're getting that respect for being the ones that keep this going. If people don't show up and open up those essential stores, then we're in trouble real quick. So
definitely.
Yeah. Good. Okay, then. Well, Chandler, until next week, keep the faith, stay positive, trust in the Lord, and do good. The music that you're listening to is from my friends Steve and Ezra, who formed a funky little band called The Histamines. Find their music online at Bandcamp.